Father God, Jesus, who's so worthy, Holy Spirit, who points us to Jesus, who leads us to the Father, we pray that you will be around right now in the sort of intense way that allows us to get what you want to talk to us about. Amen. Okay. Sometimes we divide the world into those who are believers and those who are unbelievers, those who are Christians and those who are not yet Christians, and it is probably not always a useful thing to do so. I have to put my hand up to being an unbeliever. And if I'm honest, that's not just on bad days I'm an unbeliever, but sometimes in some areas I'm pretty much always an unbeliever, and probably you are too. And the Bible's quite right about the fact that we're all not yet Christians, because we are learning to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of our life, and it's a process that's not finished yet. We've been talking about spiritual formation this year, and I was looking at the website of another denomination, which is Vineyard, and they actually had this, which I thought was a really great formulation. We believe that God by His Spirit dwells within each of His children. It is our understanding that as we grow as Christian believers, we can both increase our experience of His presence within us and over the course of our life develop deeply our relationship with God. This is what we call spiritual formation, growing to be like Jesus by the power of His Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. I could not have put it better myself. In fact, just to prove the point, they've quoted from Dallas Willard, who died recently, who said that spiritual formation in the tradition of Jesus Christ is a process of transformation of the inmost dimension of the human being, the heart, which is the same as the spiritual will. It is being formed, really transformed. Remember, we started from Romans 12:2, where it talks about that, in such a way that its natural expression comes to be the deeds of Christ done in the power of Christ. And today we are going to talk about learning to listen. I've talked about this a lot over the years, because I listen to lots of you saying, talking about hearing God speak, and I sometimes use that vocabulary myself, but think that it's pretty much impenetrable for lots of people. Really difficult to understand what that might mean. And a few years back, I picked up a book which had not long been published, and since then has become a really important book and a matter of debate all over. And it's called When God Talks Back. It's written by the professor of anthropology at Stanford University. It's a study of one particular church. And what it's interested in is, how is it that some people in the world who are in all other ways mentally stable, totally confident, and competent and able to function properly, think they hear voices in their head, think that they hear God talking to them. And from the point of view of a Christian, as you read the book, which is, what, 500 pages plus, an account of several years of research from Tanya Lerman, she writes on all sorts of things about hearing voices, particularly people with schizophrenia and things like that. So she was differentiating between those kind of voices and others. You think, this woman has had a journey, because for 3 years she actually attended small groups in the church. She got people to pray for her. She would say that she is not yet a Christian, but she did receive prayer. She prayed herself, and she describes now that she has a fuzzy lion problem. Now, if you don't know about the fuzzy lion problem, which is a loving presence that you're pretty much scared of, then you need to read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and the rest of the stories there, because that's where she picks up that idea from. And she says, the question on the publisher's blurb on her book is this: how does God become real through an extraordinary process that leads some believers to the place where God is so profoundly real that his voice can be heard among the clutter of everyday life? That's what it's about. Now, I wouldn't recommend trying to read the book, apart from the fact I got a second-hand copy and it is like academic book expensive. So you wouldn't want to get there, and lots of things we already know. But she says that one of the big skills about becoming a Christian is learning to pay attention to internal voices and to sort out internal voices. And I think that's a really good insight, that we gradually get more confident, sometimes wrongly confident, that we're paying attention to what God is saying. And what I'd like to do is to be fairly straightforward this morning, but I was thinking last night as I was sort of settling down to finalise my prep to read through my notes for today. And why are we doing this morning? Is this something that's sort of all out there? But you know, there are really profound benefits in learning to listen to God. For a start, you only get to develop a relationship with somebody if you communicate with them, which is why we always mock this thing about how many friends have you got on Facebook, that sort of thing. Friends, what's the relationship like? What's the communication like? The next thing is, so there's relationship, but part of this is about how do you distinguish voices? Now, all the time we're engaged in internal conversations. Don't have to be mad to do that. We're always talking to ourselves. Sometimes we're thinking about how we need to solve our problems. Sometimes we're thinking about how annoying other people are. Sometimes we're going backwards and forwards with ourselves, trying to think of a process by which we can move life forward. I think I mentioned to you recently hearing a very, very famous preacher by the name of Francis McNutt, a guy who God's used in healing, who talks about being awake during the night, writing letters in his head to people who have disagreed with him. That's not something that is all that uncommon. So things do go on in our head, but how do we distinguish between the different sources? Because we'll come to this in a minute. There are many, many voices in the world. So how do you distinguish between God speaking to you and what you want to do, right? There's a huge convergence in that, which, so for instance, when we're reading the Bible, we're liable to come across bits and we say, oh, God is saying this to me. And somehow we pick up the bits that are sort of all sweet and fluffy and miss out the bit maybe just a couple of verses down that's got some pretty hard stuff in terms of requirements. Take, for instance, famous bit, Jeremiah 29, I know I have the plans for you, plans for a hope and a future, all this sorts of stuff. Few verses down, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And quite often, oh, I've got good plans for you. Right, more money, more holidays, nicer house, nice everything, which is absolutely contradictory to seeking God with all of your heart. Okay? So, distinguishing voices becomes fairly important. There's that bit in the Bible in Isaiah I thought of just last night, where it says, if you wander to the right or to the left, you will... Anybody tell me what it says? Hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, would that not be handy, guys? Would that not be handy in all sorts of situations? I don't know, those of you who've got children at home, particularly those of you who've got teenagers, you need to hear the voice of God. I know an awful lot of times when we haven't heard the voice of God, but I have known times with our kids, and I couldn't possibly talk to you about the examples, where we've been wondering what was going on, and somehow we've sensed it and seen confirmation of it and been able to help them avoid disaster. Only just, but sort of. At work, I've known times where God has spoken. I can remember when I was made redundant on one occasion, God spoke to me and I got that sort of sense beforehand. And we'll talk about how this goes, and because sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm wrong about this. But I was reading my Bible and there was a bit where it said, you have dwelt in this mountain far too long. And I thought, uh-oh. Yeah? Too long at the Bible Society. And just a few weeks after, they changed things and my job wound up. And in bad times as well. And I think this is one of the most important things. You know, Psalm 23, when I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Learning to recognize God's presence is a pretty big thing for the bad times as well. Okay, so there's some of the benefits. And just to give you a little case study, what am I going to do for a case study today? Two people, one in detail, one in a bit more detail. When I went to see Gemma, she lived in the Home Counties. Didn't even live in Maidenhead, she lived in Marlow, I think. Had to drive out into the very leafy parts of Marlow, up a lane which got narrower and narrower, and the numbers between the houses got further and further apart because they were bigger and bigger and bigger. Turned into a drive, and there was the sort of old Volvo, big Labrador, trailer with a sailing dinghy already strapped on his back, because she and her husband were going off to Cornwall on holiday, no doubt staying somewhere like Rock as well, where they had a little place, but they didn't tell me about that. But Gemma had been brought up in Portugal. She had lived with her mum. They'd had a maid in the house. And she said, as a little girl, I was really fearful. And the maid taught me to say the rosary, and I can still say it. And it's been a real help to me over the years. As she got older, she went into the fashion industry and found herself with problems, partly because of the nervousness that had come about in her upbringing, dealt with it by prescription drugs and quite a lot of booze as well, sometimes both together, and married a guy who's really great. And she said that over 10 years, occasionally, she heard the voice of God. And of course, my question to her was, at the time, did you know it was God's voice? Well, she said, sort of, but I wasn't sure. And she came to a point where, I don't know whether she was over the limit or not. I think if I read her interview again, it would probably say that she was. But she drove onto a mini roundabout just as a car was coming the other way, well over the speed limit. And she thought that she was going to die on that occasion. She thought she was really going to be whacked. And she told the story with real drama. And once again, she heard this voice that wouldn't go away. And from that point on, she realized that it was God. A few weeks later, a friend invited her to a baptismal service, and she began to connect with church. Well, on the way through, Gemma had tried to become a Reiki healer, whatever it is. And she said, I was never very good at that because I didn't get visions of angels or anything. I tried. And gradually, she found herself becoming a believer, becoming a Christian. And she talked about the story of how she began to recognize the voice of God. And one of our biggest problems, of course, is that we think we're there and we think there's no more that has to come. And so we are going to just try and we're not going to problematize it. We're going to talk about this a bit. Here's that song that we played at the beginning. Just listen to the words in the verse. How many of you would say, I don't want to follow my own ways? Would that be true for you? Anybody? Real strain, isn't it, to actually acknowledge that. It's not our style. But done with feelings. So that all depends on being able to connect with God, to hear from God, to be led by the Spirit. So I want to use a bit of Bible today, which is not directly about this. And it's this. It says, solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, this could get very complicated, and you'll know that I don't do this very often, take out a little piece from the Bible. In fact, generally speaking, it's a bad idea because you can make a nonsense. You've all heard about the guy who was trying to find a word from God, and he thought, I know I'm going to open my Bible twice, look in it, see what he says. The first thing he puts his finger on is where it says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. Oh, he thought, this is dreadful. He opened it again, put his finger on another place, and it said, go and do thou likewise. So, taking little bits out of context. Now, if you put it into context, the passage, it says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, really, that bit that starts at it starts at the top there, goes right the way on to the next chapter as well, and it talks about what the foundations of the Christian faith are. So we're going to ignore the oracles of God, we're going to forget about elementary truths, we're going to forget about skilled in the word of righteousness, and I want to go into even more detail, because this is what fascinates me here. Those whose faculties have been trained by practice. Right. Alan, have your faculties been trained by practice?
I hope so.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions here, aren't there? First of all, what's a faculty?
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. How can you train a faculty? A faculty is... I wrote this down. I hope I wrote it down. Oh, an inherent power or ability. Okay. So... the Authorised Version, it actually says, who have had their senses trained. So what you're talking about here is a sort of spiritual sense. And it's a really rare idea. In fact, that word is only used once, and from the root, there's another twice where you can see it in the Bible. But just let me show you where they are. This is the first one. I've underlined where the word is the same. And this is my prayer, that you might overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight. So you can see how that's connected with an inherent power, your insight. But they did not understand this saying. Its meaning was concealed from them, so they could not perceive it. So solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. And really talking about learning to listen to God is narrowing it down too much, because there are times when we see things with spiritual eyes. I don't know what we mean when we say we see things with spiritual eyes. It's just that's the closest we can come. We can talk about feeling things. We can talk about being aware. Now, you will at some stage in your life have been aware of God as a presence. I don't know what your chances are of explaining it to somebody else how it is, but I know there are occasions, I know God is here all the time, but I know there are occasions in a meeting where I've been aware of God's presence. And don't put too much on this, because sometimes I wander around for all sorts of other reasons, but I know what happens on those occasions. I actually find myself, if I'm leading a meeting and I feel as though there is something special happening, I find I need to go and stand out the way. I literally go and stand in a corner or against the wall. I don't quite know why that is, but you'll have had those experiences. Like this woman, Gemma, had an experience. Like Ben, who I interviewed, had an experience that he wasn't really ready to talk about. Like Anthony, who's almost my age, he was out walking with his wife on one occasion. They were in Cornwall as well. And there was this sort of promontory that stuck out. Wasn't a Christian at this point. Knew it all, didn't believe it, wouldn't act on it. And what happened was that he said to her, he said, look, I just want to climb up there. And she said, well, you do that on your own. I'm not doing that with you. And so he climbed up. And as he got to the top, he said, I went, wow. And I knew that God was real. Now, I wonder if you can think about those sort of times. Many of you will know Carol's story, but just hop up on your hind feet, Carol, because I think this is just an amazing story. From when Carol was a teenager, when she was about 17, no church background at all, how was it that you first knew that God was real?
I was at a Bible week, or Cato Bible week.
I want to go back to... First time.
Okay, yeah. We had been planning some sitcoms, and our professors did astronomy with us, sort of thing, about stars, etc. And there was a power cut. I live in London, so there's always ambient light, but there was a power cut, and we were walking back from... Paul thinks there was a ranger guide, okay. And we were walking back about a couple of miles, and as I came down the hill to where I live, I just looked up at the stars, and I just could not believe that there wasn't a reason, there wasn't somebody, it wasn't, you know, that there had to be something behind that. And that really was, and I was thinking of God as such, but that was, looking with hindsight afterwards, I identified that being the point at where I just went, there has to be more than what I know there is so far.
Yeah.
It's just really powerful.
Anybody else had an experience like that? But yeah, you'd say that was for you, Roy. Yeah? So that's how it happens for some people. That hasn't been how it happened for me. Certainly it wouldn't have been how it happened for Wendy. We're brought up with an awareness of God, and there are different things that take you through the process. Now, I need an image to talk to this morning, and I do love black and white photographs, so you're going to get this one. Okay, we're going to use the image of listening, and I'm going to use the idea of a radio. You know, switching it on, listening to God, famous story in the Bible about a kid called Samuel. You'll probably be able to remember the story. You know what happened, that one night he's working in the temple, working for the priest. He's away sleeping somewhere. The priest is asleep. He gets up and goes to Eli and says, sir, did you call me? And Eli said, no, go back to sleep. Kid goes back to sleep again, gets up and comes to speak to him. And Eli said, no, it wasn't me. Third time he does it, Eli realizes that what is happening is that God is speaking to Samuel. But, and this is my justification for ripping that bit out of Hebrews, but his faculties had not been trained by use, his spiritual senses, so he didn't recognize it. And Eli said to him, go back to bed. If you hear the voice of again, this is God speaking to you, and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And of course, a whole story comes out of that, the life of David, and a whole development of a whole nation over centuries. So listening to God is a pretty good image. But three things I want to pick up. I'm going to have to leave out lots of the Bible verses, but once again, we can put them on the website so that you can have a go at them and have a little think about them. Old radio. Most of you will not know a radio like this. When I was a teenager, I worked in a radio shop where they had these new wild things called transistors that would come, and people would actually ask to look at a transistor to see what it was like, and it was noticeable because it got three little wires coming out of it. And first of all, there was Sinclair transistor radio, which you had to have an earphone to listen to. But predating these were valve radios. And valve radios were expensive and had these whacking great things in that looked like a complicated light bulb. And when you turned the radio on, you had to wait. And you waited for it to warm up. Yeah? And that's part of the process. You know, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. There's switching on. Jeremiah 13, if people will seek me with all my heart. Then there's Habakkuk 2, where Habakkuk says, I'll go and stand on the watchtower and see what answer the Lord will give to me. It's all got the idea of switching on. But interestingly, have you noted that all the Bible bits I picked up there are from the Old Testament? Now, I wonder how far it's true that the idea of switching on and waiting is not such a good idea. You know, Friday, I take as a rest day. Interesting rest day. I was putting up a shower screen in my daughter's house. Curtain would not do. She wanted a armoured glass shower screen. And I had to drill through the tiles. Drilling through the tiles, the normal problem is cracking them. This wasn't the problem. It was getting through the tiles. I reckon it took me 20 minutes a hole, to the extent I went back and got another drill from my house and wondered really whether it was ever going to happen. And it wasn't until that point in my day that I said, Lord, I need to be listening to you here, right? I need to switch on to you. I need to pay attention to you. So I think in my life, because I needed help with that drilling, you know, I could look at the YouTubes, but I wanted to know, you know, how I was going to get it right, because as I was doing it, I was getting more and more tired, and we were running out of time. It still took us to 8:30. We didn't get our dinner till 9 o'clock on Friday night to actually get this shower screen in place. But a lot of my days, I go through as an unbeliever, as a not yet Christian. I don't engage with God. Now, here's the thing. You've all heard about the problem with Alexa. We have a number of, I've got a bigger one, and Wendy bought the kids for Christmas Echo Dots because she got a deal on them. And that means that you can hear commands being given to Alexa all over the house. Some of them not for Alexa to do very polite things. If they've got to do the washing up, there are several songs that they just have a need to sing over and over again. But on Thursday morning, Evie was walking along and walking along the top corridor and saying to Tom, "I've just looked at your Alexa history, and why have you been asking Alexa to play the Spice Girls' Wannabe?" Tom's 10. But as she walked past, the mentioning Alexa and saying "Wannabe" meant that it played. You know, it's always on. And occasionally, we'll be having a conversation in the kitchen and we'll say something which obviously sounds like Alexa, and you'll hear this voice saying, "What can I do for you?" Yeah? Now, here's your question. Talk to one another for just 1 minute about this. What do you think communicating with God is more like? Is it more like an old-fashioned radio? Is it more like Alexa? Okay? Communicating with God, more like an old-fashioned radio, more like Alexa. I'll ask one or two of you to tell us and why you came to that conclusion. Did anybody have a clear vote? Did anybody decide it was one? Who thought it was more like an old-fashioned radio? Yeah?
Because we don't know what Alexa is, that's why.
Okay. How many thought it was more Alexa? How many thought it was a bit of each?
We decided that God was more like Alexa and we're more like the radio.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Yeah. So, think about that.
Alexa with a mind of its own does not always answer.
Yeah. Well, it depends what your pronunciation's like, Rachel. We wanted to try and get a different name for our Alexa. But I did some research on it and found there are only very few names you can use. I think the strangest thing, though, is that we've got a link to our eldest son. And if both of us have got Alexa on, you can actually say, "Call Simon." And he can be watching the telly in his living room. And you'll be able to hear Alexa say, "I have a call for you." But anyway, moving on. Now, Lynn, when you had a radio at home of this kind, what stations can you remember to try and to tune into?
Luxembourg.
Luxembourg would be the one, wouldn't it? Radio Luxembourg.
Yeah.
It would be, and yeah. And then when you were a little bit older, there would have been twiddling around trying to get Radio London, Radio City, Radio Caroline, picking out those programs in the 60s. And then if you're anything like me, you would have had a little radio, a little recording machine, which probably had reels of tape in, and a microphone which you would put close to the radio, and you'd record it, and then with a pair of scissors you'd construct your own mixtapes. But then, of course, what would happen is halfway through, it would drift off, wouldn't it? I can remember my parents always used to put radio, I can remember them putting Radio Luxembourg on at 7 in the evening, where there would be Transworld Radio, or Billy Graham would speak just for half an hour at that particular time. Now, tuning in is this business about sorting out the voices. How do you know whether God, it's God speaking to you or your flesh? Flesh is this, okay? What your inclination is. When it comes to whether you should be spending time fellowshipping with people or going to a meeting or reading your Bible, how do you know, "I don't need to do that," is coming from God saying, "No, the just lives by faith," or whether it's by your own inclination? How do you sort out whether it's the devil or not? Because that is a possibility. So this whole thing is a bit about tuning. And tuning's a real thing. 1 Corinthians 14:10, mainly talking about tongues here, it talks about there are many different languages in this world. There are many different voices. So here's your question. What good ways have you found of tuning out other channels to listen to God? What good ways have you found of tuning out other channels to listen to God? Talk to one another about this. I know it's difficult, but what are the good ways? And I'm going to ask you for feedback on this. Okay, guys, tell us good ways that you've found. Let's have half a dozen good ways you've found of distinguishing God's voice from other voices. Yeah? Any ways that are good for you?
Checking what you're looking at,
where you get what you're spending your time on. Yeah, dwelling on adverts for stuff is not necessarily a way to hear where God wants you to spend your money. Yeah,
worship is a way of tuning.
A way of tuning. Yeah. Okay. Another one.
Fasting.
Trust Philippa to have something that's really hardcore. Yeah. Okay. I'll take Sue and then take you. Yeah, Sue.
But when God has spoken really incisively in my life and changed his mind, it's been a bit like waking up from a nightmare. Because when I think something, you get yourself to a tailspin, you get yourself to a spiral. But when God has come in,
it cuts through. That's brilliant, isn't it?
And it's just, yes, I'm yeah. Very few times.
I'm sure other people could tell stories like that of where something breaks through, but yeah.
Thinking on slightly different lines, I was thinking that for me to hear from God, I have to be doing something different. So, like, I'm physically occupied if I'm driving the car, or I can't do it like where there's distractions. So, taking somewhere where there's not the distractions is.
Of course, you have the advantage of not having small children around because that's not necessarily. Yeah, yes, actually, one of the voices I was going to look at was distinguishing God's voice from your spouse's voice or the internalized voice of your parents. That's a real built-in problem that we all face. And that sort of links into how you do it. You know, my parents, when they were listening to... wanting to listen to Hour of Decision from Billy Graham, would tune and tune and tune, and they would know when they had the voice of a guy called George Beverly Shea, who died a few years back now, but he was the regular singer. And so you knew what voice was. Or the dulcet tones of Tony Blackburn coming through from, what was it, Radio City. Or some of the other guys who were on Radio Caroline, their voices would come through and you'd know where they were. This almost seems patronizing to have this image, but it is one of those very famous iconic. Do you know that's been around since 1899? And it started off with the idea that the recording was so good that a dog could recognize his master. And I thought, oh, we can't use, and it, no, we can. Because in John 10, it talks about the fact that the sheep know their shepherd's voice. And it's talking about us knowing God's voice. In John 7, just a page or two before, it says this, anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am lying. I forget how it finishes off. You see? A lot of it's to do with, it's a case of his master's voice. It's whether you want to hear God will distinguish that. Now, here's the thing. Okay, this is a bit like the previous question, but this is more about how you actually distinguish a voice once you've heard it. Here's your question. How are you learning to distinguish God's voice from other voices? Okay. Have a think. Oop, have a talk as well. Talk to somebody else. See what you think. Okay, let's get some feedback. Take three or four at least here, see how we get on. Anybody over in this block here, what did you come up with? How do you learn to distinguish between God's voices and other voices?
Taking risks, trying it.
trying it. That can sometimes be the case, isn't it? There have to be a range of things where you would try it and a range of things where you wouldn't. Sue again. Yeah, actually looking for consistency with scripture is that's something which is really useful. And think about how you listen to what God is saying when you're listening to your kids. Okay, now sometimes our reaction can be, oh dear, let's say yes whatever they say, and for sometimes it can be, oh dear, let's say no whatever they say. You know, you get into a sort of fixed position. I can remember on one occasion where there was something about the tone of voice with one of our children that made us feel that they had an uncertainty about one of their friends, and so much so that we prayed about it, and they went off to have a sleepover there, and I think they were only away for an hour, but then phoned to ask whether they could come home. And talking to the child later on, as far as we could work out, they also had sensed that there was something off, that there was something not so good about it. It wasn't paranoia. It may just have been the cultural things around the house. It may just have been the tone of communication and so on. But yeah, some of these things are deeply intuitive. But other things, so scripture, we've talked about taking risks, anything else?
What it said and when it said.
What it said and when it said, yeah. Yeah, one of the things is that, give an example, can you? Not a personal example, but just frame it more generally, Simon. So.
Well, I've only got personal examples.
Okay, well, don't worry about it at the moment, but... one of the things that's interesting there is that sometimes God can be talking to us, but it comes through a source that we don't like, that we would be inclined to reject. I think that's particularly true if God is speaking to you through your spouse. Okay? Very easy to reject, because there's always built in, you've got no right to talk to me, but you look at yourself. Yeah? You're not so good yourself. There are some people who we think frame their comments very kindly, and we're able to discern the voice of God in there. Sometimes it's a bit more abrupt and you don't feel so good about that. But let's just finish off, because I think you've got enough here to do the work for yourself. What we've said is that one way or another, in order for our spiritual senses to develop, we need to turn on. And one of the things I'm trying to do at the moment is every day saying, Lord, I need you, I need to hear you, I need to communicate with you. I think the last time I thought about this was when I had spent probably 6 or 8 hours working at this talk, and then I suddenly thought to myself, Lord, I've not consciously asked you to be here. Now, you may well say, quite reasonably say, I'm not as stupid as Dave Halls is, at least I draw God into my working day. But when you sit down to your bench or to your desk or wherever you are, it's a great discipline. Or when you get into your car of a morning, or when you walk in the bathroom and look in the mirror, you might say to yourself, Lord, I need help. Yeah. You may even want to avoid looking in the mirror when you do it, as it may not build faith. Then the second thing is tuning in, pushing out some voices, getting others in, and finally, listening up, paying attention. Okay? That's where we wanted to go. In terms of spiritual formation, there can be huge benefits from making sure we turn on, tune in, listen up. Okay, see what we do next week. That's it.